Welcome to Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are talking about Gamera 3, Revenge of Iris.
1999.
Yeah.
You're questioning Revenge of Iris. You weren't sure.
I wasn't sure. I'm like, yeah, that's... I keep forgetting the title. I know it's Gamera 3, and this is it. This is it for this Gamera trilogy.
This is it.
Cool. I don't even know where to start.
Considered the best of the three.
Yeah, it was a cool movie.
Dead baby Gaios. Is it a baby? That dead Gaios thing?
Well, I think like that's like the kind of like regular size, and they get bigger. It's hard to remember, and it's kind of cool because they give us sort of a...
You get like some skin, like some muscle and teeth, and it's like,
yeah,
it's kind of messed up.
And flies. And that grandma comes out, starts hacking at its neck, saying that it killed her grandkids and stuff. Yeah, it's pretty brutal. All the flies everywhere. Yeah, and then we get a deep sea expedition, and they find a Gamera graveyard.
Right.
That was weird.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I always assumed Gamera was one
thing. Turtle.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, this movie starts out pretty crazy.
It's like the Phantom, the ghost who walks.
Oh.
Where it keeps...
Sure, Pirate Roberts.
Where the Phantom just keeps...
Yeah.
It keeps passing on to his son, so that's why they think he's immortal.
Where's the mom?
Keeps showing up.
Can you imagine if, Gamera's mom... was like hanging out on the beach and had to like lay the eggs under the sand.
Oh man, it's giant baby sea turtles.
And the seals are like,
Oh, I guess he is. He's in the ocean. Yeah, okay.
Well, that's the thing, is Stevie was asking me where he lives, and I said I think he lives in the ocean, but I'm pretty sure he came from space.
Yeah, he lives in the ocean and space somehow. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, but I can.
I don't know. They do say, like, there's one of the things that they say is like that might be where aliens are hiding out, because there's so much unexplored ocean.
And it's dense and cold, just like space.
Yeah, it's like a mini space on Earth.
Yeah, that's why astronauts train in giant swimming pools.
All right, so there's some interesting, I don't know if interesting is the right word, people story stuff in it. Overall, it wasn't bad.
No, not at all. I enjoyed it. The people stuff's interesting.
I was all right, let's see what these, we were really kind of like looking forward, like let's see what these modern Gamera with his badass suit design, let's see what these are going to be. And they're not bad, but there is this thing that I didn't think this would be my reaction, but it makes me kind of miss the goofiness of the early Gameras.
Right. It doesn't feel like children's movies.
No,
Especially when you open up with a grandma hacking at a neck of a
right
Gauss. But I mean, it's funny because you think, a little bit, but you think of it, these as kids movies, but these definitely aren't. But the suit design and the effect shots, the model work, are all super top notch. It all looks really cool. Even those shots where you have like Gamera, you have like the people, the live action in the foreground, and then the Gamera superimposed in the background. Even those shots,
they
had
good
models and they behind the monster.
Yeah, they didn't skimp on destroying models.
Yeah,
and that was really what I think made those really good.
Yeah, there's all the model work and the suits looked amazing. I mean, I had kind of a crummy version. Do you have these on Blu-ray, right?
Yeah.
You saw it, you watched it on Blu-ray?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. The copy I have is a little bit fuzzy. But I don't know if that helps with the illusion of the effects or hurts it. But I thought it all looked really, really good. Especially the finale, the climax in the, was it an airport or a train station? What was that place?
Yeah, it was, I think, a train station.
Yeah. Just the sheer like level of detail in the models were just nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a complicated build for sure.
Yeah. And then to set the whole, I mean, I guess if you're going to set the whole climax of your movie in there, it makes sense to spend that much time on it, but I feel like, man, so much stuff could have gone wrong in there. You know?
Well, yeah, you know, watching this movie really kind of made me fantasize about the idea of like a like kaiju experience attraction. Like mm-hmm. In a way, I guess the Universal Tram Tour does a little bit of this kind of thing, but in the sense it was like you start in like a subway, basically, like you're on like a train,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden there's like, there's a part when they make the announcement on the train being like, the train isn't going any further. There's a monster loose in the city. And there's a whole thing like that. And I was like, that's great. Like the idea of like, you go on the train and then like maybe you flick the lights off and on, and then there's like an announcement that a monster is loose. And then it goes, and all of a sudden there's like a thing where like the ride moves, and then it reveals the giant animatronic kaiju just like hovering over you, or you see mm-hmm. a couple of them fight, but you're kind of close, so there's like some stuff that kind of like falls, it's at a safe distance, but you kind of feel like you're in it. Like that feels like that'd be kind of like a whole like kind of fun little like ride of just like the experience of living in kaiju times.
It sounds a lot like what I'm picturing is the Star Wars Rise of the Resistance ride at Disneyland.
Is it?
I don't want to spoil too much, but it does have in it, while you're riding around on this thing, there are giant set pieces and debris that crumble around you.
That's great.
And it's like, oh man, and then they have the giant AT-ATs in there, which I'm sure you've seen pictures of that. So it's like everything you've said, I'm like, oh, I've kind of seen something like that, but with Star Wars, but now I want to see it. I want to go into a room with two gigantic kaiju fighting and you're trying to escape. Like that would be awesome.
You could do like fake smoke or something with like a mist, like a water vapor, but make it look like it's steam, but it's not nothing dangerous and stuff. It'd be kind of really cool looking.
And then I picture like the earthquake attraction at the Universal Tour.
Yeah.
Where the water comes rushing down.
Yeah. Or like the Universal, the new, Lost World ride, the new Jurassic World, where it's like some of it's like a screen. It's you're watching a movie, but mm-hmm. then they'll have like water come rushing over the edge of the thing. It's like little thing bits like that. You know, you could incorporate like a mix of like projection with real.
Mm-hmm.
Would be cool.
That'd be cool. What's funny about it is that there's a line in the movie that says, why does Japan keep getting attacked by giant monsters?
That was fantastic.
Yeah. Made me laugh. it's a question we ask, but it's funny that it's brought up in a movie and he like says it specifically, like it's Japan that it's only
happening. Yeah. Why is it always us? Yeah.
Yeah. Was yours a dub or was yours subtitled?
I had both options. I did my watch it in dub, but leave the subtitles on for look for discrepancies.
Right.
In the thing. There's a part where when after the girls are hazing the one girl to go in there and remove the rock.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy comes, hey, get out away from there. What are you doing? And they they call him Mr. Big Old House. Yeah, they she goes, I don't know what that means. Ah, that's supposed to be an insult, but okay. But like they go, she goes, she removes that rock that looks like a little turtle shell. She pulls the rock, she walks out with it, and he's like, oh, we got to put that back. And it seems heavier on the way back, and the two of them are carrying it.
It's pretty funny.
The awkward hanky scene, too, in that same spot.
Yeah.
I like that skeletal model of Gauss in that woman's office.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, and it's funny. It sounds like Gauss is like an ongoing thing. Like, there's enough Gausses for her to have a skeleton in her office.
There went, and yeah.
They're just everywhere.
Yeah. Right. All over the world. Like, the whole thing at the end where they're like, hey, there's a bunch of Gausses. They're all converging on Japan now.
Right.
Like, Russia called us and told us their Gausses are leaving to go to you guys. You know, it was like that yeah. whole thing.
Yeah, it's weird. I can't imagine living in a world like that where it's...
A world where there is a Monster Damage Control Committee. I was like, rad.
That always cracked me up when there was like the G-Graspers or the Godzilla Protection Network.
Yeah, it's like, this is what life is now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. If it weren't for all the death and destruction, it would be kind of cool to just see Gauss flying around.
So, yeah. Okay, so, okay, Gamera.
Right.
There's a part... Okay, so there's this whole mythology thing comes in about essentially a different monster from the north, the south, the east, and west, and that the north, the south, we're going to fight. And there's that whole... Like, this is fulfilling some kind of prophecy. Right. And notice that there's a Gauss that is essentially a phoenix.
Yeah.
And there's all that business. And there's the big Gauss fight early.
Great fight, yeah.
The Gauss that's like, he's in tatters and stuff. And Gamera comes flying in, and he's like a cartoon. He's like animated Gamera when he first shows up. Which is a little pinwheel. Wonky. A little wonky. No, when he actually lands and he's like, he's actually
his Gamera. Arms. Yeah.
And it's a little wonky looking, but they did this thing where like his shell scales were open and then they flapped closed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. That was kind of like,
you know, air brakes or something.
I don't know, but it's like this that he can control those as a thing. I was like, oh, that's crazy. And
well, the last Gauss, one, he was able to open his chest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Gauss gets messed up. The Gauss with his eyeball hanging out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that is glorious. That's so good.
I mean, that's where this movie shines, is like just the suits and all the miniature effects. It's crazy that this feels like a high watermark for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then the Godzilla, the Millennia Godzillas came out like a year after. And I don't feel they had this level of cool miniatures. I think they dipped too far into the CG, but,
I was super
impressed.
So that fight I liked a lot. Gamera protects this kid, but ends up essentially just destroying Shibuya in a fireball.
Right, and that girl who hates Gamera for killing her family, like, totally has a point.
Yeah, it's like that one kid gets spared, but so many people get destroyed.
Right.
You see, and the fact that you see them getting, like, basically caught up in the fireball and just
yeah,
it's nuts.
That was great. This Iris. I like the idea of Iris. I got excited because
the idea?
I think it was we talked about it on the Daigoro episode where where people are essentially raising a kaiju.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of her raising it for the sole purpose of destroying Gamera.
The fact that she's got a vengeance on her mind is interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It got a little uncomfortable when she's like, Iris, I'm so hot. And she starts unbuttoning her shirt. And I was like, what's happening? But you know, what I did like was when they're all in like goop, when she's in goopy cocoons.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot of cool goopy cocoons. It's kind of like that part at the end of Poltergeist when they come out of the other side and they're covered in like that weird red stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it's like that. And they're trying to, yeah, that stuff is cool.
Yeah. When she's unbuttoning her shirt, I thought she was just showing him the necklace.
I mean, she ended up showing him the necklace, but I thought
but it was
going to go further.
It kind of did, right?
Because
that's when when Iris got bigger and then put his tentacles around her.
Yeah.
And it started glowing. Yeah.
But yeah.
At first I was afraid because I'm like, oh, wait, this makes it look like she's going to do it with this monster. And right. Then I'm like,
is this tentacle porn?
And then I was like, oh, she is going to do it with this monster.
I don't think she actually does it with a monster. It's a deeper connection.
Okay.
Stop it.
How deep? So Iris, named after the cat, is a bird, a squid, and a snail?
I don't. See, I wasn't thrilled with Iris as a design.
Well, I like the puppet ones.
He's definitely
the little puppet was cool.
I would have rather seen puppet tentacles than CGI tentacle, right. Like the spear tentacles. I would rather they did like Biollante style. Mm-hmm. And like it was more like a puppet. It would have looked cheesy, but yeah, it's a different kind of cheese. He's like, yeah, he's part Gauss creature, part Decepticon. But I mean, like part of him looks like he's made out of metal. You know, he's like part robot. It seems like, I didn't love him. He didn't have a lot of personality. It's not like, cause, Gamera had a lot of personality, I think, in this. And, and he didn't have as much for the amount of connection he had with the girl and the whole purpose of the whole thing. He seemed kind of like a cold design, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I like a thing with tentacles. I like, you know, there's he was kind of also like the Godzilla where like the thing starts out like he looks kind of like a stingray but then turns into a proper
it's Orga
or the later Orga yeah
Orga, that's from Godzilla 2000 where it's a where it starts off as a UFO turns into like a jellyfish and then turns into a
thing
guy.
Where I feel like in the later Kaijin,
the 2000s,
like the Tohos and those movies, that they tried to get more complicated in their monster designs. So there's like so many different bits, like Destroya has got so many different bits.
Right.
And so I just kind of feel like they're trying to do too much. They're trying to make them look like too much like a Gundam with, Kaiju, like a Kaiju in a Gundam suit,
and they do a lot of that where it's like the muscles underneath and then like a bone structure on the outside. Lord Zedd from the Power Rangers. I don't think you watch Power Rangers, but he looked like he was wearing a suit made of muscles, and on the outside was like a bone structure like armor.
Right.
That is almost the same as Monster X,
right?
Who is the final one in Final Wars?
Yeah, I haven't seen the main boss. The one that looks like Hordak.
Yes. Yeah. So, oh boy, we're inching closer and closer to Final Wars.
Closer and closer.
I mean, it's going to be a celebration of the show, but at the same time, it's Final Wars,
right?
I don't know anyone who said anything positive about Final Wars.
Yeah.
Even though there's like 12 monsters in it, 12 Toho monsters in it. It's rough.
I think the more we talk about it and the lower expectations go, the better it's going to be for me to experience.
That's what I'm hoping for. I really am. I like that this movie is sequelized. And it takes stuff that we learned in the other movies. And I like that we watched them in order.
Yeah.
I'm glad we watched all these Gamera movies, because we kind of can see the progression, and then this kind of matches up the storyline. Okay. So there was a show in the movie called The Wide, and it was a bunch of old people sitting at a desk drinking wine. I just thought that was interesting, because at first I thought it was like some sort of a news program, but they cut away to go to the news. But that show was kind of funny. It was called The Wide. At least that's all I saw. I don't know if it's...
Oh, you know what was great?
What's up? The dead all people those in the
dead
attic?
Bodies.
Yeah. Yes. That happened right after. That was my next note. The one that came down from the ceiling, I really liked.
So good. And the same thing when that happened to the girl who was on the picnic.
Oh,
and then
yeah,
she got converted. It's like they're like a little bit dried out, a little green, but really great. And the fact that they went and made the dummies to make them, you know, was great.
Yeah, those were fun. Those are definitely going to be in the show art for this episode.
Good.
especially the upside down one. I like that they're like, oh, we really like how this turned out. We're just going to keep the shot here for a little bit longer than needs to be. Because like with the Ben Gardner in Jaws, his face just pops out long enough where it leaves this impression in your brain. And you're like, oh, what did I just see? And it freaks you out. This one, they're like, oh, this looks really cool. We'll just have it hang in front of the camera for a couple seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great. That reveal and that drop was so good.
Yeah.
Okay, knife, do something.
Yes.
That's not how knives work.
Yes. Oh my God, the 10-inch dagger is what they called it, and like that was the name of it, was the 10-inch dagger. So good, cracked me up. Okay, knife, now do something.
And
he hucks it, and I'm like,
he throws it, and it lands like handle first.
It bounces back, and I'm like, oh my God, is it gonna hit this kid? Is this kid gonna die? But
it is so dumb.
It was like such an anti-payoff that it made me laugh. I thought that was great. It was so good. This final fight, there's some really good shots in it. Really, I mean, like I said, I didn't have like a pristine copy of it, so I didn't see any sort of like matte lines or anything like that where things got split screen. But no, the explosions and stuff, it looked really good. But there was a shot of Gamera walking in the rain, and the wind's like blowing against his face, and the rain's like pouring off. It looks so awesome, just looks so cool. It's like they really put these suits through the, you know, through the elements. It was awesome. The train station set was so cool because they're fighting inside of it. We never really see kaiju like fighting inside of a building, but it's cool that this building's big enough that they both fit. But I like that every time that Iris moved, the shoulders would clip something on the rafters, and like pieces would fall off.
Right.
And it would look like an accident, but a lot of times they would spark as they would fall off. So I don't know if it was an accident. Like, I don't know how, you know, much of this stuff was staged. But man, that set was crazy intricate.
Yeah, and then Gamera comes flying out of it like getting thrown out of like a bar window.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah, this is some... Did the Blu-rays have any behind-the-scenes stuff on it?
Did what?
Did the Blu-rays have any sort of behind-the-scenes stuff on it?
There is something bonus. I didn't see what it was.
There's got to be something online, because I want to see like them working on these sets.
Yeah.
I thought it was just like spectacular. Like it was like... I don't know. Like it was a great... Like it just made it for like a cool setting for your climax. I didn't realize that the whole end of the movie was going to take place in there. I'm like, wow, they really put a lot of effort into this building. And then just to see them tear it apart from the inside and then kind of fall out through the outside and then come back in. It was cool.
Yeah. So then, yeah, because like she melds with Iris again. There's a part where the guy's like, did they join?
They
think that's that code. Yeah.
Listen. Listen. That thing. Yeah. The thing she got sucked into looked like something. And then there's like two glowing balls on either side of it. But I was fine with it. It's so weird, like, because Orga does the same thing to Godzilla. He opens up his mouth into a giant, vagina, and but Godzilla's like, "All right, I'll go in there."
Oh man, Godzilla's staring at the best thing is his furry.
Oh yeah,
did we get like, to see that? Oh man, what is that?
Oh man, we haven't watched a Godzilla movie in so long. Remember back then when we saw clips of that in multiple movies? Dude, so the funniest thing, and this might be jumping ahead a little. Gamera saves the girl. He's only got one arm. His arm.
Oh yeah, come on, let's talk about that first.
I mean, okay.
Gamera, he reaches into Iris's chest. And grabs the girl, basically.
Yeah.
And then Iris then does... He basically pins Gamera's hand to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps working that wound. He keeps, like, twisting and shoving and stuff. And Gamera's, like, just screaming. And he's got one hand inside his chest. The other hand is pinned to the wall. It is, like, this kind of standoff moment, and Gamera's in this position, but they're both in like a precarious position, and he decides, I'm just going to blow my arm off with his fire breath. Right. And he just does it. And then that becomes a flaming fist of some kind that then he basically switches hands. He puts it in he punches him into that hole, and that's what defeats the monster. And he yanks out his hand, and his hand's covered in goop and all that kind of weird, like ectoplasm
stringy stuff. Yeah.
All the weird innards and the cocoon that the girl was in.
Right. It was awesome.
That was amazing.
Right.
Him taking off his own arm, I was like, whoa! And then the flaming fist thing that like, oh, it's like like Gamera gets like a hole. Sometimes the fire stuff just comes leaking out of it.
Yeah, well, we've seen the fire come out of the holes of the turtle shell when he's flying.
Yeah.
So he's got some fire in him.
Yeah, it's his arm
but
fires.
But it made a fist.
It did. You could see claws on it.
It was great. Oh, but yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Maybe more ridiculous than when he opened his chest in the last one and shot fire out of his chest. But there was something way more satisfying about this than that.
Well, there was this feeling almost like I didn't feel like the flaming fist was Gamera's plan all along. It was kind of like, I just got to get my arm off and deal. Like it's the whole thing about like, where they talk about like a coyote chewing off his own leg to get out of the trap kind of things. Mm-hmm. It's that kind of thing. It's that ultimate
survival,
what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, And then it's like, yeah, the flaming the fire, fist of fire is pretty cool.
So good.
A lot of bad CPR trying to revive that girl.
Oh my gosh. So this is hilarious. Gamera standing there watching, waiting to see how it turns out.
Yeah, and it's like, this isn't working. And so he just screams her awake.
That cracked me up. And then we get a cliffhanger.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, is there a four?
No, well, no. We have a Gamera the Brave coming up.
And that's fan film.
I don't know. I know nothing about these movies. Well, I know more now than I did.
How about the guy, the inspector? You know how he had a bit. He had his whole arc throughout all three movies as well, mm-hmm. where he started as the inspector and then he got another job, and then like everywhere he went, he still had to deal with Gamera and all that kind of, and then he goes back to the city and he's drunk and the woman discovers him and he's like, he's embarrassed at first, trying to deny who he is, and then finally he's who he is, and he's the guy who gets the kid to be like, no, you gotta go after that girl, and takes him on the train. So then they announce that all the Gausses are coming, and he's like, oh, how many? And the guy goes, lots.
Yeah, and then we see him.
And then in the closing, at the end of the movie, goes Gamera 1999, the absolute guardian of the universe.
Right. And I'm wondering if they're getting ready because they know that Godzilla's coming back.
Oh, because it kind of felt like it definitely was like that. Oh, that was just like a dig?
Maybe.
Okay. It was definitely like seeing it at the end of, like, I remember when I went to see Superman, at the end they talked about, you know, and get ready because Superman 2 is going to come next.
Yeah.
Like, announcement, like, at the end of the credits of Superman 2, I was like, oh, awesome! It's going to keep going.
Yeah, but it didn't. The next one is 2006, Gamera the Brave. I don't think it's a fan film. I think it might be an actual Gamera movie, but I think it's the last one of the series, and we're going to be doing that in the near future. But
there was because that one movie we saw was like a response to, oh, maybe this is like a reboot.
Maybe, I don't know.
Because there was that one movie we saw that was like a response to Gamera. There was like a fan film somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Didn't that have something to do with like Raiga and Raigo? Yeah.
That he Raigo? Went, yeah, after he did that, and that was kind of successful amongst his fans, that then he did Raiga.
Huh,
So Raigo?
I guess we're going to find out. Yeah, I guess it's about
Monster
Raigo. So I did a quick wiki search on Gamera the Brave, and it just seems like a Gamera movie.
Yeah, it looks like it's a reboot.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I enjoyed this movie. I thought it was great. We're coming up on the end of Gamera. So I don't even know if Gamera the Brave in 2006, how much of it's CG. So it was nice to at least know this time around we got a lot of miniature work. Even the flying Gauss looked like puppets. And the flying looked way better than we've seen in like the Mothra movies.
It looked really good.
Yeah. Top notch model work. I loved it. I love the all of the Gamera action was amazing. I'm sure if you go online, they probably just have those scenes, to watch, but it made me want to know. Cause I watched an old copy that I got from an old Blu-ray or an old DVD and it didn't look great. So I'd be interested. I was like, man, I don't really buy physical media anymore just because it takes up too much room on my shelves. But I'm like, man, I need to check to see if like they have like it available on like iTunes or something, like a really good version of this. But they don't. I don't know. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so the guy who made Raygo, he made something that was called Gamera 4 Truth. It was a fan-made sequel to Revenge of Iris.
Okay.
It's never been released on home video. It just sometimes has been screened. Hmm. And it picks up at the end. And because, you know, he did that one, he went on to make the other two movies.
Okay. So, yeah, we're not seeing that one. We're seeing Gamera the Brave.
Yeah, so I think that's a full reboot.
I have a hunch of that fan film would be mostly CG.
Based on Rego.
Rego, yeah. It was all like CG. I can't imagine it being...
Yeah.
Based on Rego, I can't imagine it being great.
Right.
So we're definitely going to skip that because we don't have access. And also, I'm good.
I'm not so sure about it. Yeah, we're not convinced. There's other things we'd rather fit in the slot probably.
Yeah. Speaking of which, you want to talk about next episode?
Yeah.
Man, I cannot wait.
Oh, yeah.
It's been so long.
Feels like we've been taking a big break.
Well, we've done a lot of Ashiro Honda, but it's been a while since we did. I think the last Ashiro Honda Godzilla movie we did was Destroy All Monsters, and that was a while ago. But we're doing Ghidorah, the Three-Headed Monster, and I cannot wait to watch it. I cannot wait to talk about it. 1964, it's like right there. It came out the year before Monster Zero, which I believe is our number two. So I feel like
this is the first time I feel like we've had a real contender for top five coming up,
right? Because it has all those elements,
got everything we want.
Yeah. Oh boy. So look forward to that. Check it out on kaijupod.com. You also get links to our Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. So yeah, until next time. Is it just me or is it getting real hot?
No, boy. You going to go join?
Oh, yeah. Huge, huge air quotes on that, by the way. Join. Yes, join. That's it.
I am going to go convene a meeting of the Monster Damage Control Committee.
Oh, man. That's cool. You just want to do that so you can get one of those Gauss skeletons. But the way it sounds, you can just pick up a Gauss skeleton at a village or anywhere.
Well, that, yeah, right.
They're everywhere.
A real one.
Yeah.
But that one with the little one for my desk.
Oh, that's a baby Gauss.
No, I don't think it was a real skeleton. You think it was a real, I think it was just like a model of the Gauss skeletal structure. It's like for reference.
I don't know. At the end of this movie, there's going to be plenty of Gauss skeletons to go around.
Yeah, it's going to be everywhere.
Yeah.
All burnt to a crisp.
Yeah, you could bleach it. Make it look all cool. All right.
All right.